back in on Canuck Central. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, also known as Detective Columbo, Satyar Shah, finding Andrew Gordon through a needle in a haystack.
You're just going through a hockey DB, looking at Hershey.
Yeah. Yannick's like, oh, we played with a guy. He came from Hershey for a couple of games. A couple minutes later, Sats figured it out.
Bick texted in too, and he said the Andrew Gordon lore is akin to Tommy from Shawshank. Yeah, he found it as well when I looked up afterwards on the message.
Sat, you can just take all the credit for yourself. You don't have to give any to Bick.
Well, I'm just saying that, right? he texted it to me as well. This was after I found it, but yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just saying.
So maybe he didn't find it at all. He was just like, oh, Sat said Andrew Gordon. I'm gonna text him immediately.
No, I don't think that's what happened. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I don't think that. I mean, I'll take the credit for it. Yes.
Yeah.
But that was a tough one. I thought it was Pinizzotto for sure. Mm. When he said Hershey won and, you know, played like 10 games because Pinizzotto played 12.
Yeah. Pinizzotto was one of my favorite players, though.
Was he?
Yeah.
Do you even know who he is?
Yeah. I mean, he's Italian, so of course.
That's what I'm saying. He's a feisty player.
Mark from New West texted in earlier, Dan, you screwed up because you tried to sneak Quammens past Sat, got you rattled.
Yeah, he's not wrong, I don't think. I totally forgot about the Quammens thing because like I was so confused by you going to the open.
Couple of other texts. Dan, time to retire Quammens nonsense. Yes. Enough is enough. Keith the water guy. Quammens is about as funny as password. Please stop.
I could not agree more.
I think it's a little better than password.
A little bit better than password.
All right, it's the open on Canuck Central.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. Thanks, Arash. Yeah.
Welcome to the open.
Oh, that's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
The open on Canuck Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And yes, the Canucks about to embark on a six-game road trip. They are in the capital, in the nation's capital, ready to take on the Ottawa Senators tomorrow afternoon Pacific time, 4 o'clock here, 7 o'clock local in Ottawa. And, you know, it's going to be a pretty difficult road trip, right? They might get Besser back at some point. They may get Demko back at some point. But for now, all those guys are continued to be out of the lineup. And that puts a bigger focus on the Canucks star players, Sat, and one in particular, Elias Pettersson, who we've talked about quite a bit going back to last year's playoffs, and the struggles that he had finally coming out of it. 9 points in his last 8 games with 5 goals. Are we seeing Elias Pettersson finally rounding into form at the time where the Canucks need him most?
Yeah, so I mean, we are seeing him get better, and he is getting better at a pretty crucial time. Can he be good enough to really carry the team?
Yeah.
9 points in 8 games, a solid 5 goals, 4 assists. Like, it's really good, right? Mm-hmm. There's still more to his game. Like we talked about before, even the game against the Rangers, had 2 assists, and he had a couple of moments, and really positive, good defensively. The one moment defensively on the Kreider goal on the game winner, I didn't love that, and was also the breakdown by Soucy and Myers. But that's kind of nitpicking at his game a little bit. But obviously, we talk about him being great defensively. That was also not a great defensive moment. We know he can do better. But I think he can shoot the puck more, too. And there was one couple instances where he had a real good look in the slot and is looking for the pass. So I want to see him really finish that off a bit more. And I want to see him be a bit more aggressive. But this is kind of where I want to see him take that next step now, because I think he's done really well. And I think he looks like a better and a different player and a lot closer to the player we've grown to know and expect. But the reason they paid him a lot of money is because he can carry the team.
Yeah.
And they kind of need him to carry the team right now as much as possible.
Look, you're going to have a tough time. This Ottawa team, I know they've lost 4 in a row here. Some good teams that they've gone up against, right? Losing to Vegas last night, losing to Edmonton the time before that, and, you know, even Carolina. Like, that's, you know, about as good a 3-game set as you're going to get as a team in the National Hockey League. And they lost all 3, but, you know, even last night, they put up 40 shots on Vegas. Their underlying metrics are really good. And even you look at their forward group through the middle of the ice, you've got Stützle, Norris, Pinto. and Adam Gaudette, who's got 8 goals on their fourth line right now, so he's off to an incredible start. But, you know, this is a team that you're going to struggle through the middle of the ice. Like, they are strong down the spine of their forward group.
Yeah.
And guys like Suter and Bluger, you know, yeah, they've been good soldiers for this team. You can only expect so much. This is the kind of game where you're going to need a lot from Elias Pettersson. And hey, they did it the other night, right? Like, when they were on the ice, for the most part, they won their matchup against the New York Rangers. But you're going to need that even more so from Elias Pettersson and Jake DeBrusk and Kiefer Sherwood right now.
Yeah, and I think part of that is getting a bit more out of Jake DeBrusk as well. Mm-hmm. But I think what we can see and what we're seeing so far is that line can carry the team as much as possible. Like, they were... The reason they scored 2 goals against the Rangers. You have 2 goals as a line, I think that gives you a pretty good advantage in a game. Now it comes down to the rest of your team, and I think you can do a bit better defensively. And the Rangers obviously are a really good high-powered team that took advantage of their chances. But the production was there pretty good in that last game. Against the Ottawa Senators, it's not going to be easy necessarily, but mm-hmm. to me, Pettersson's the best forward in the game.
Yeah.
And I want to see him be the best forward in the game. And in many games, Pettersson has the ability to be the best player, be the best forward. And I want to see that consistently throughout this road trip because, you know, you look at Boston too. Obviously, Pastrnak is really good, but he hasn't really popped off. Like, this is the time here where Pettersson, I think, can really show and get people on board what he can be for this team again. I know there's been a lot of doubt over his overall potential, right? A lot of doubt over the contract. And I think it's been quieted by some of his play recently. But to really get a lot of people on board, carry the team when they need you the most. And I'm not saying he has to do it. It's a long year. But I think it's one of those moments you like to see him move past the marker and kind of show that, okay, like, he's capable of doing this, especially at this point in the season.
It's good. I mean, yeah, Pettersson should be the best forward on the ice, but is his game, or has it been, at the level that Tim Stützle has played at so far this year? Or Brady Tkachuk? Right? Like, Tkachuk's been really good.
No doubt. They've been good, but I think Pettersson can be the best player. Like, I think he can be on the ice. And like, I expect them to be.
Yeah. The Canucks need him to be able to carry that mail, right? Garland continued to have his success. He's going to have the baby legs tomorrow. Like, there's going to be help from elsewhere, but ultimately it's going to come down to Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson to help carry the team through this tough moment. And we heard from Rick Tocchet today, and I thought this was an interesting comment as it pertains to how this team is playing right now. Obviously, Pettersson's line were able to control most of their minutes on the ice at 5-on-5 the other night. And they did that as well against the Predators on Sunday. But as far as the team game goes, has it really been there? The coach seems to think so. Here it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you worry about the results that you get in trouble, I think we're really worried about that. I know it's the most overused word in hockey, but it's process. I've liked our 5-on-5 play the last couple of games. The other teams are just making a key play before us to win the game. Like, the Rangers made that key goal in the third. Nashville, I don't think they had a chance in the third, but their power play won the game for them. So we just got to make sure that we have key moments that we come up big. We're going to get the cavalry coming back. You know, Millsy will be coming back soon, and Demmer and Bess and all those guys. That's going to really help our team. But in the meantime, you know, we got some young guys playing some minutes here, and it's good for them to get it.
So there is Rick Tocchet. There's a lot in that clip, but I'm not sure I agree with how strong their 5-on-5 game has been lately. And he specifically said the last 2 games, so that's the Rangers, a 4-3 loss, and the Predators, a 5-3 loss.
And I don't think he's wrong, necessarily. The Preds game, it wasn't 5-on-5 where they lost the game. It was special teams.
Yeah. I mean, Steven Stamkos scores those 2 power play goals. They score an empty netter. That's essentially the difference.
Yeah, right? And they had, obviously, the Yossi goal, too.
Yeah.
But that's like a, you know, an absolute bomb one-timer. And maybe that one on the breakdown on, but that was also bad luck because Sherwood had a breakaway chance, whiffed on the shot, and he go out the other way and ends up being the one-timer for Josi. And those are the goals. So 5-on-5, I don't think he's wrong. Against the Preds, they didn't give up anything.
Yeah, the only thing I would say about the third period against Nashville is Nashville's up 2 goals. They've had a terrible time this season, and they're doing everything they can to just lock down that period. They weren't providing much of a pushback to the Canucks trying to get back into that game.
Fair enough, but nonetheless, they didn't give up anything 5-on-5.
Yeah.
Up until that point, that one chance came off the Sherwood.
It just felt like score effects were a thing.
I don't disagree, but up until that goal, the 40 minutes then.
Yeah.
The one breakdown was a guy whiffing on a shot on a breakaway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I thought they were pretty good 5-on-5, but they were not good enough on special teams, and they lost the game there, right? Against the Rangers, okay, so there were a couple moments I didn't like. The game-winning goal we talked about, we've broken that down so much, right? Pettersson does a great job stealing the puck for Zibanejad. He steals it back. He doesn't attach to Kreider.
Yeah.
Susie and Myers are doing their thing, whatever that is, and ends up with Kreider scoring the goal, right? Yeah. That one was not a great one. And then the two other goals they scored were kind of bad luck. One goes off Susie and bounces right in front of Kako. Come on.
Just a terrible bounce.
Right? And the other one was the breakaway by Cooley, which... I don't know if who was the player who touched it by the Rangers. I forget which player it was.
Was it Suter?
No, it was a Ranger player who touched the puck.
It was Kako, I think.
Maybe it was Kako, but yes. And ends up becoming a curling shot, perfectly goes to Cooley, gets a breakaway, and he scores. I don't call that a breakdown, maybe a little bit. So I don't think they were bad 5-on-5. The Rangers had chances. The Rangers were the better team. But I thought for things they could control, they generally were better. So I don't think he's wrong that they were better 5-on-5. I don't know if they've found their game necessarily fully, but... they didn't give up a ton as far as, making uncharacteristic mistakes.
So the public data would back you up a little bit on this. High danger chances were 7-6 for the Rangers the other night against the Vancouver Canucks at 5-on-5. And in the Nashville game, it was 13-5 in favor of the Canucks and 3-0 in the third. So there's the score effects. But 7-2 also for the Canucks in the second period. So the coach is fair in his assessment that the 5-on-5 game has been there. It did feel like, and hey, maybe my expectation bar should be lowered a little bit given the Canucks roster constraints with all of the absences right now, but did feel like the Rangers had a lot more of the puck at times the other night. Obviously, the shot clock favored them to a certain extent, but given the circumstances, the Canucks, it was kind of one of those things we're going to defend the guts of the ice. If we lose the shot clock battle, so be it.
And that's, and honestly, even Clear Sight's analytics, we saw some from Stephen Valiquette, and we spoke to Woodley about this. They had it at 4-3. Mm-hmm. The final was 4-3.
Yeah.
Which is an even game, one goal game. The Canucks generated a fair amount for the chances they had, and for the amount of volume the Rangers had, they probably should have had 4 goals. They got the 4 goals,
Yeah.
So and then I guess they got the empty netter too, right? I guess, but 5-on-5 and overall on special teams, I thought it was a fair outcome at the end of the day. But the Canucks, I don't think, fell apart. I thought they did their best. It was just the Rangers being the better team. They had more volume and they pinned the Canucks in their zone a lot more than the Canucks could do to them on the opposite side of things.
And this is kind of the theme of, and where I wanted to take this ultimately here is Rick Tocchet's hope through this stretch without these guys. And he alludes to it in that clip. Hey, we're going to get guys back here pretty soon, right? Besser was in a non-contact jersey today. He said Miller's going to be back soon. So I'm guessing they don't feel like Miller is going to be back. He's not going to take much more time than what is ever going to happen on this road trip. We'll see how that develops over the next little while. But given Tocchet said soon, it doesn't sound like he thinks Miller's going to be out for that long.
No, it. I mean, he expects Miller to come back,
yeah.
right? And Elliot was on Halford and Brough today and kind of mentioned after the road trip, expectation is perhaps he comes back. The question is, what is he dealing with?
Yeah.
Right? And we talked about it as far as the physical side with JT, going back to, early this season.
The Philly game when it first happened.
Yeah, it goes back to even training camp, yeah. right? Because he didn't play in any preseason game until the final one, and then he does, and clearly there's something. And the Philly game off the face-off is like when he just kind of froze up, right? Yep. And we talked about that, and we're like, that to me, that reminds me of like a muscle injury in your neck, right? Like if you've ever had like a pinched nerve or anything around that area, that's what happens.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that 100% that's what he's going through. Nobody's talking about exactly what it is. But to me, you can tell on that play what area he was being affected, right? Yeah. You could see. And then he didn't take any face-offs the rest of the game. And he's had a hard time getting through it. We'll see if they're ever going to be fully transparent. They've been reluctant. He's been reluctant. I know JT's had injuries in the past, and he's never talked about it. And I've heard of injuries he's had that other players have had, but he's never admitted to it. So it's only off the record you hear about things. So I'm not even sure he's ever going to talk about it.
Yeah.
But it's clear it's an upper body thing. The question is, what is the nature of it? Can it heal over some time? What does it look like? Nobody really knows. And I see speculation out there, and I see stuff being mentioned as theories and rumors. It's just hard to like, really nail any of that stuff down. And I think we got to be careful with that sort of thing. But to your point, bringing it back to, is he going to be back relatively soon? You hope so. And that would be a big positive if not only he does come back after the road trip, but he can also start resembling the player we know he can be.
So they get Besser and Miller back in the not so distant future, right? Let's say next couple of weeks, Besser, given he was in a non-contact jersey today, could he be back as soon as Tuesday against the Boston Bruins? We'll have to see how practice develops after they play Saturday against the Ottawa Senators. But that seems like a possibility at this moment in time. What Tocchet is hoping for is, can I get these guys playing closer to what we had last year, get that buy-in defensively because we haven't had it. And as Tone says on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox, this is how they played last year. Let guys skate around on the outside and don't give them too much on the inside. Can he get that buy-in that has eluded the Canucks through the first month and a bit of the season now that you are in this spot? And that's ultimately what Rick Tocchet is hoping for and what he's getting at with their 5-on-5 game. We've been better. We've got to lock down big moments in games now, and that's sort of the next step. Then we get guys back into the lineup, and hopefully, like this is obviously the glass half full idea of it, but we get guys back in the lineup, and we can start really, molding our identity through the second half of the season.
I can buy that we're seeing a team that's buying in again because the effort's been there the last couple of games.
Yeah.
He said a couple of games, again, going off the that evaluation. I think by their effort and by how they've generally played 5-on-5 has been there.
Well, and the Chicago game, like, yeah, they won, but it wasn't good enough.
No,
right?
It wasn't a clean game, right?
Yeah.
I didn't love how they played that game, but hey, you get the points, you win, that's what matters, right? But we didn't see the same issues in the two wins, even the two losses against the Preds and against the Rangers. And I thought generally they played well those games. And
yeah.
You can say, hey, sometimes you play well and you lose. I think that was the case. There are some games you play poorly and you deserve to lose. We've seen a lot of those, right? But I think the buy-in has been there the last 2 days, games. To me, it comes back to what do we start the segment on? Your players now stepping up. Pettersson being better, but more so on the back end, especially with the way Soucy and Myers have struggled. Can you get them to be steadier? Because to me, it's not about buy-in with those guys.
They don't even have to be like great. They don't even have to like own their minutes on the ice. Like, can you guys just get closer to even?
Yeah, just don't fall apart. Like, honestly, just don't. Like, again, I'm going to go back to that same play again, but it's you can't compound mistakes.
Yeah.
And as a defenseman, you are very much dependent on what your forwards do, absolutely. And, it's a five-man unit. All those things matter. But if something in front of you doesn't go the way you want it to go, you can't compound that mistake. And we've seen Myers and Soucy kind of compound mistakes, and that's something that they have to stop doing. If they get some confidence back, and again, they're just kind of break even and just kind of keep it simple, then I think this team is going to have a chance to be able to keep its head above water.
To the Canucks Central Roundup, again, Besser was in a non-contact jersey today, so he's working his way through the protocol, as it were, and hopefully he can progress towards playing early next week. Canucks are in Boston on Tuesday and then in Pittsburgh on Wednesday. Max Sasson set to make his NHL debut. The Canucks only have 12 healthy forwards on the roster right now, so we know he's going in. Was a free agent signing out of college, an undrafted free agent signing a couple of years ago. He's worked really hard to get here, and hearing him talk about getting the call up to the show was pretty incredible today. Here it is.
Yeah, I just was in Henderson with the AHL team and got a text from RJ, our GM there, and said, give me a call when you can. And I figured it was good news. And he told me it was his favorite call to make and that I was going to be playing my first game on Saturday and I was going to get called up. And just a ton of emotions and kind of just, I'm sure it'll sink in even more, but just thinking about all the days at the rink and growing up and how much it means to my family and my friends and everyone that's followed me throughout my career. So a really special day.
So who would have been the first call then, and what was it like?
Yeah, I called my dad. He's probably my biggest fan. He's been there the whole way. And yeah, he started screaming, started crying. It was a pretty special phone call. And, you know, I just, if it's his first game too, it feels like he's been there throughout the whole way too, and as well as my whole family. So I got to call my mom after, my brother. It was awesome, my girlfriend.
Nice. So through their back, like they're in Michigan?
Yeah.
Able to get here for a while?
Yeah, my dad was actually going to fly to, he was coming to see us in Henderson. And then I was like, you're not going to Henderson, you're flying to Ottawa. And he's like, what? So that was pretty awesome. And then got my brother a flight and my mom and my girlfriend and everyone's coming, my aunt's coming. So it's truly special and it'll be a great night.
Just love hearing those kinds of stories from Max Sasson.
It's so awesome, man. Honestly, it always brings a smile to your face and just the excitement the entire family and loved ones go through.
Just imagining his father being as excited as he was and getting the call, like, don't fly to Henderson, Dad. You're flying to Ottawa.
that's
got to be a pretty cool feeling. So he will get the rookie lap tomorrow night against the Ottawa Senators. And a couple of tidbits on baby Garland. Quinton Garland was not named after Quinn Hughes, but the Canucks captain will be the godfather of Connor Garland's new baby boy. So Garland will have the baby legs tomorrow. And also a little note, born at 6:04 a.m. So it's a true Vancouver baby.
6:04, Quinn Hughes is the godfather. So, I mean, the Garlands have to stay here forever, right? Is that what has to happen?
Yeah, that's might be. I don't know. But Garland, after a couple of hectic days, got a little bit of rest last night. So happy for the Garlands on that one. Big time revenge game as well tomorrow. Travis Green, Mike Yeo, Adam Gaudette, Zach McEwen, Nolan Baumgartner among the coaching staff as well for the Senators. Not sure if Travis Hamonic will be in the lineup there for Ottawa, but a lot of revenge game narratives. And the Sens, though, they have lost four straight. Vegas last night, Edmonton, Carolina, and Philly. So it's been tough, but if you look at their underlying metrics, really good so far this year, the Senators, and controlling play a lot, winning the shot clock a lot. I think it's still one of those things where young team, some young players still making maybe the big mistake every now and again that's hurting them, even though their underlings show pretty well. But yeah, we'll see how it goes tomorrow.
Yeah, and their goaltending has been spotty at times as well.
Linus Allmark not having the full desired effect just yet for the Ottawa Senators. All right, we'll get to the mailbag coming up. Your questions for us here on Canucks Central. That's next on Sportsnet 650.
Big opinions and good bets. It's the People's Show with Bick Nizar. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.